Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. And today's show will be a fun one. But then again, Sean, aren't they all?
Working? This work?
Nah.
Don't tell Roger.
No. Well, it's like the conspiracy that you and Sean Morris have had on, you know, on, from BTN for decades. It's all scam, right?
It's all a scam, man.
Smartest scheme in the history of man.
We are brilliant. They'll never know. Oh, my goodness. But Ricky Ricardo, he has gone viral. Now, his call of no, senor, no, senor, no, senor is actually part of his signature call. Because last year, I don't think a lot of people, unless you've heard it, probably don't realize when Josh Elliott hit the 61-yard field goal to beat the Giants, right? His call was, si, senor, si, senor, si, senor. Which also went somewhat viral, but not like this. Not like this. Hey, this has gone off the rails viral. Like, wow. And, I can't believe it. We're going to have him on the show. I am so anxious to talk to him. Be a lot of fun talking to him. Because he's had a great background. He also, to be honest with you, now, we had Merrill on yesterday, and we're going to, by the way, for those who didn't hear Merrill yesterday, we're going to replay Merrill for you in the final half hour today. And Merrill is talking to an audience of Eagles fans, and many of them are lifelong Eagles fans, and they not only know the franchise, but a lot of them really, really know the game. Okay? Now, Ricky Ricardo is certainly talking to people who love football, enjoy football, and know football, but he's also talking to part of his audience is also a group that is learning the game of football. They're really intrigued by it. They really think it's cool. And so you know, but there's also, for them, hey, you know, the game of football I really love, but there's also a little bit of more of, you know, like we grew up ingrained in it. Well, some of his audience did not grow up ingrained in it, but they really think it's intriguing. He makes the game better for them, and also along the way does it in such a way where they are becoming lovers of the game, in part because of the Eagles and in part because of him. So we're going to talk to him about that and much more coming up. And to get his thoughts on the Saints game coming up, because obviously on November 18th, the two teams played, and it may not have gone very well for the Eagles that day. So we're going to talk to him about that, too. That's all coming up in the next half hour. Freddie Kitchens, who made four brilliant play calls at the end of the Ravens-Browns game that knocked the Steelers out of the playoffs, got the Browns head coaching job today. Woo! Really? Let's see. Bruce Arians gets the Cardinals job. Vic Fangio, the Bears defensive coordinator, gets the Broncos head coaching job. So Mike Munchak is still on the Steelers staff. Dirk Cutter goes from Tampa Bay staff to being the OC of the Falcons. And then there's Cliff Kingsbury, the guy who said, you know what, I don't think we're going to go with Baker Mayfield. Uh-oh. But he's getting a lot of credit for Patrick Mahomes I'll be honest with you. You look at Patrick Mahomes, incredible raw talent, but you watch his passing motion. Far better, far more refined after working with Andy Reid. And I think maybe even being around Alex Smith than Cliff Kingsbury. But he's 39. A lot like the suit, chiseled good looks. You can get up off the floor now.
You mean the suit when he was 39 or this very
the suit,
day?
No, the suit at 39 is about the same as he looks today.
Yeah.
I think the suit at 9. A lot like he looks today. Just a thought.
Bowling physique.
My goodness, I never thought of it that way. Like they line up certain people. All right, what are you? Well, I'm a high hurdle specialist. Yeah, okay. What are you? Well, I'm a baseball player. Okay, wow, look at you. I'm a basketball player. Huh. And you're a bowling guy, right?
Kegling, my specialty, yes.
Kegger and kegling.
Beer frames, yes. Yeah, true. Yes. Very true. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Kingsbury, what Cliff can do with Josh Rosen. I mean, a lot of his stats were, in the low 30s with various, QB stats and ratings. So, it's just this trend right now. You got a young buck that's now going to be running the Packers. You got a young guy that's going to be running Arizona. It's like,
it's this trend right now looking for the next
Sean McVay.
But the young guy running the Packers was the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. Sean McVay was the offensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins. This guy was an under 500 coach at Texas Tech.
I feel bad for Lynn Swann. I mean, he was barely at USC for a month, and now you got a whole buyout issue going on there. That's kind of messy.
Buyout? Well, I guess the buyout wasn't very big.
But I guess now he has to pay that back to SC, something like that.
Or else the Bidwell family does.
Yeah, I think it was only like maybe 150 or 200,000, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, gigantic money for anybody in the valley.
For us, yes.
Right. This is how they tip the Uber driver. Oh goodness. Why, boy, do we think of sports in a different realm than real life, don't we? Think about that. Really, the buyout's only $150,000. Meanwhile, there's some guy in Turbotville going, I wish I made $150,000. In sports, you cannot relate to real life. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. All right. Yeah. So those are some of the big stories. Jalen Hurts, by the way. The backup quarterback at Alabama did put his name into the transfer database. He's going to get his degree, by the way. So actually, wherever he goes, he'll be able to play right away. He's going to be a grad transfer. But it's... and then Justin Fields is at Ohio State. And his advisor is the same advisor Shea Patterson had, that opened the door for Shea Patterson to play right away at Michigan after his transfer from Ole Miss. So the thought process is that they will go the same route with Justin Fields, and we may know within a month to 6 weeks on him. And and Tate Martell, I was listening to a show this morning on SiriusXM, and they were saying on that show that, after this, we fully expect Tate Martell to eventually transfer. Well, how the heck do you know? But Ryan Day is he's running the show. He's putting his own staff together, his own idea together, how he wants to play. Martell and Fields have very similar games. Fields obviously is a five-star guy. And the Browns hired Freddie Kitchens, who helped knock the Steelers out of the playoffs. You're like, well, how did he do that? Man, did you see those play calls he made? When they had, they're 5 yards away from being field goal range. And those are the four plays you came up with? Really? And the Browns were like, that's just the kind of guy we want. You have to give the Browns credit. They are the Browns.
Yeah, but if you're talking about teams in that division, I mean, Browns, long, you know, short-term future, I think going up. Cincinnati, who knows? I mean, they still need a head coach.
Yes, they do.
I mean, as a Steelers fan, I'm kind of concerned with having to face Baker here the next 2, 3, 4 years down the road.
2, 3, 4 years? How about like 5?
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Even the same Baker Mayfield that left Cliff Kingsbury and went to Oklahoma? that Baker Mayfield?
That's the guy.
Okay. Just want to make sure we got it right here. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, we have to have some fun on the show, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, college football's over. There's only a little more than a handful of pro football games left, and then that's it. Then we got to wait till September.
Well, I mean, look, when it comes to predictions, I mean, after the weekend I had, wouldn't you hang on every word I say?
Yeah, but I think that was the first time in the history of our pick segment with you, me, and I know you don't care, but I think this is that had to have been the first time between you, me, and the King in the 3 years of us picking games on Friday afternoons. I think that's the first time you put up a donut. I can't remember. I know it doesn't matter, but I'm just saying I think that's the first time you batted 1,000, but in the opposite direction. I know this doesn't affect you or you care whatsoever. It's all for entertainment purposes only and for lots of fun, but there's no way you're going to put an O for next time you're going to put up an O for. It's going to be a very long time.
We better use that disclaimer because if there's anybody going off what I say prediction wise, I don't want us to be sued. You told me to pick the Bears. No, I didn't.
That's true. 2, 3, 4 years down the road during the pick segment, people whip out their phones and do an automatic bet. That's not far away.
No kidding.
It's not far away.
No, it's not far away. And I think it's every time you turn around, that moment's getting closer and closer. Now Pennsylvania already has what, Granville, and I think the Rivers in Pittsburgh.
Correct. And I believe one of the casinos in the Philadelphia area. I want to say Parks Casino.
Well, Dick told me
they have one that's just open.
Dick told me Parks was almost there.
Okay.
Now, whether they've done it since the last time I talked to him, which was on Sunday, all I know is he told me they were really close to having the book done. Yeah. Hey, now this state, I think I want to say New Jersey, 17.5% tax rate. Or take on it. This state's 36%. 36%. That's a big number, man. That's the biggest number of any of the states. 36%. But you can't have Delaware sitting next to you, and you can't have New Jersey sitting next to you, and then West Virginia making great strides sitting next to you and not do it. It's one area that you'll find out right away is that when Governor Rendell was able to push through the casinos at horse track bill, it changed New Jersey. Suddenly New Jersey did not have all the traffic in their direction, and that's one of the reasons they wanted to go toward sportsbook. But as I pointed out, when I was in New Jersey, I went to Bally's because we went there for dinner. And when we went there for dinner, we went by sportsbook. There was maybe 30 people there. That doesn't mean more traffic during the course of the day, but it wasn't exactly overwhelmed. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The lights dim. The ball in the center starts turning. In a white suit, white pants, white shoes. The suit grabs his New Brunswick ball. And with the lights spinning around, fires it down the waxed lane toward unsuspecting pins. Another nine. That nine crushes him mentally.
Hate that when that happens. Four wraps around the seven. Ooh, crusher.
Yeah, that's why I've gone the bumper route. Just me. Just kind of thought it was the best way to go.
Nah, not just you. Nephew, too. He likes that, too.
Yeah. I just feel like he gives me a better chance. Just a thought. I just feel like I'm in the ball game.
How did his average go up 33 pins? Well,
it may have been. I may have done that way. Yeah.
Lane adjustment? Yeah, you could say that, right?
Those are good words. Sure. I feel better. Lane adjustment. Yeah. All right. That's me. Okay. Ricky Ricardo next half hour. Now, this is going to be really cool, I think. I'm looking forward to this. To his credit, he's carved out a really, really nice career. And you got... he's got a heck of an audience. What he's doing has been going viral. That's great. I'm thrilled for him.
Yeah, for the show, for the people at or near Philadelphia, he'll do a show from time to time on 94 WIP.
Yeah. He's something.
Yankees baseball, too.
I love the passion he brings to it. He'll be on next half hour. Looking forward to that. And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's great to have Ricky Ricardo on. I sense after the show the last 2 days we're never going to get Cliff Kingsbury on. I don't think he likes us very much.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow's show will be from Nebraska. You're like, why? Well, that's because I have to do a game in Nebraska tomorrow. That's a good reason. And we'll have a writer from the Lincoln Star Journal on to preview Penn State-Nebraska basketball. Looking forward to that. I'll be on tomorrow's show as well. Very, very pleased to have on for the first time in the show, and we hope it's not the last, the outstanding play-by-play voice on the Eagles Spanish Football Network. That is Ricky Ricardo. His work has gone viral, whether it's Josh Elliott, C. Senor versus the Giants, or Cody Parkey, no Senor, against the Bears. Ricky Ricardo. Ricky, welcome. It's a pleasure.
Steve, it's a pleasure to be on with you. I can't make it any simpler for people, huh? Si, senor, for a good kick, and no, senor, for a miss.
But that's the terrific part about it. So I want to get actually into that. You do make it simple. For example, for Jack Ham and me in doing Penn State football, we've got a lot of longtime football fans that we're talking to. Yeah, there's certain people that are coming that may be new to the game. Would it be fair to say you've got a fair amount in your audience that are new to the game, and you realize that?
Oh, absolutely. The whole thing, I've been doing Eagles football now. I'm the pioneer of this Spanish network. This will be my eighth season. This year we have Andy, Couple, Chip, Doug. Yeah. So it's eight seasons of Eagles football. Now, the audience is growing year by year by leaps and bounds. Within the city of Philadelphia, the region, Lehigh Valley, all the way up through where you're at, you know, there's a growing Hispanic population that to assimilate, and especially to assimilate in Pennsylvania, you've got to hook onto the Eagles. It's just part of the culture. So yeah. Folks want to know more about the game because they see that this football team is such a big part of everyday life where we call home in Pennsylvania and South Jersey, you know, the whole region. But the football fan, the American football fan, what it's called, let's say in Mexico, the Dallas Cowboys have had a network of over 100 radio stations throughout Mexico for the last 40 years. So this is not a new thing to a big part of my audience that listens to me on apps and on the internet, but it is kind of new to some of the new arrivals in the area. So since they're not watching the game on television, it's a little bit more difficult to learn football if you've never, you know, if you've never been exposed to it. It's even a little more difficult to learn the game through the radio. So it really becomes a simplified theater of the mind type of approach on my behalf, explain what the game is. For example, let's say Saquon Barkley for the sake of this audience. If I were doing the Giants, I'm describing Saquon Barkley as a super talented rookie player that has all the potential to be a Hall of Famer one day. That audience doesn't care, or it's not important that he went to Penn State. It's right. This is the running back. This is the guy we need to focus on. So as time goes on, and this local Hispanic audience is learning the nuances of the game, then I start throwing in a little bit, well, he's a Penn State grad, or if it's a Temple guy, I'll take the local scene first. But to say, here's Jay Ajayi last year, star Eagle running back from Boise State, a listener who's just getting hooked on Eagle football, he looked at me and said, Boise? Potato? What are you talking about? So I try to simplify the delivery and the approach as much as possible so people will be comfortable picking up on the nuances of the game and become bigger and bigger and more loyal fans. And look, they buy tickets, they buy gear, they buy jerseys, they pay for parking, they get in the beer line 3-4 times. You've got a whole nother fan base that's getting hooked on Eagles football, and now the name of this franchise, which in Spanish is Águilas, which is a very, very big name for soccer teams all around Latin America, they're hooking on big time. So in the pecking order right now, I'd say, Steve, in the Caribbean, South and Central America, and Mexico, where we have, 50 times the audience that I have in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania and South Jersey in our region, the Eagles right now are probably the hottest name in NFL football. The Cowboys are the traditional favorite.
Right.
Believe it or not, this is the God's honest truth. This goes back to the Steel Curtain, but the Steelers have the second largest following in Mexico. And after that, the border teams, San Diego Chargers, Arizona Cardinals, Houston Texans. But right now, we get more email and more, Twitter followers and Facebook and the whole thing from Mexico, Central and South America that are hooked on this new team, the Águilas, which is the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to get into how the team is playing in a moment, but I believe you also do the Yankees, don't you?
Yes, I do. I did the Phillies. I did the Phillies when they won the World Series. in 2008, and I got the Yankee. It's all intercom radio, so I got the Yankee offer. It'll be my sixth season when I go to spring training here in a couple months or in a month.
That's awesome. For a guy who was born in Newark, what kind of thrill is that?
Well, I grew up. It's funny because I grew up a Yankee fan, disliking the Mets. But the cable system we had when I grew up included PHL 17 in Philadelphia, okay, carried the Phils. So my National League team was the red pinstripes, and my American League team was the navy blue pinstripes, and that's how I got, you know, hooked on being a Yankee and Phillies fan since I was a little kid, by disliking the Mets. And then I remember, many in your audience probably remember, that the Eagles and Giants would play a charity game.
Yes.
In preseason every year, and they would play it in a college stadium. I'm trying to remember where it was, but they would have billboards around the highways and, you know, local roads throughout New Jersey advertising the Eagles versus Giants charity game every preseason. It was, I forget, you know, who the proceeds went to, but I liked the helmet with the wings and the color green. And so, you know, there it is. You know, that it was natural that I finally got the Eagle job, because that was the team that kind of attracted me as I drove around as a youngster.
Let's talk about this current team, because obviously there was a point, Ricky, where everyone knows that the defending Super Bowl champions were in trouble of not getting in, and then they caught fire. What were the elements, as you've watched this play out, where you know they've caught fire, that suddenly you've become a viable contender again?
The guys wearing number 9, Steve, it's that simple. I really do think it starts right there, and I'm not trying to demean Carson Wentz at all. I think that the team, after the second defeat in Dallas, was deflated. There were, what, 3-4 games left in the season after that. But when Nick Foles took over the reins in a game that they weren't supposed to win on a Sunday night, I mean, even the NBC execs were like, wow, we flipped this game into a nighttime game, and the Eagles come in there, you know, a couple of games under 500, you know, although they were the defending champions. But here comes Nick Foles with a completely different way of running this offense. And after they came away with that upset win against the Rams on that Sunday night, and then Foles brings them back after having the game in his hip pocket, but has to bring them back again late to beat the Houston Texans, now you're starting to scratch your head and say, well, wait a minute, this can't be a coincidence. This guy did this very same thing basically last year. Now we're only one win away from a depleted Redskin team and one stroke of luck away from getting back into the playoffs. And there you go. They shut out the Redskins. 5-10 minutes later, the Bears have that game under control against the Minnesota Vikings. And you go to Chicago, you say thank you to the Bears that day for letting us in, and then you throw it back in their face by beating them in their own stadium. So that just goes to show you how funny the NFL is week to week.
No question. I've referred to Foles as, to me, the consummate pro's pro.
Yes.
Doesn't complain, doesn't say a word, but when it's time to be ready, he's ready. Is that fair?
Absolutely fair. And I tell you what, you know, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles are tight. They get along. The two, you know, men of God, they've got great attitudes, but they're both competitors. Let's not kid ourselves. They're both competitors. I'll take you back a few years to make a comparison and see if you agree with me. If I'm in Carson Wentz's shoes right now, I'm starting to feel like Steve Young did when Joe Montana got traded to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
The cloud, you remember they used to say, you know, he's got a monkey on his back until he wins his own Super Bowl. The shadow of the great Joe Montana will always live on Steve Young's shoulders. Well, finally, Steve Young, I believe it was 95, 96, wins his own Super Bowl against the Chargers, takes a victory lap after that game in Miami. And what was the first thing he did? He told his teammates, remember the gesture? Take the monkey off my back. Take the monkey off my shoulders. You remember that?
Yes, and I sure
do. I think Carson Wentz, unfortunately, is going to have that kind of pressure on him if Nick Foles, and look, we're assuming that they can't keep them both and that they're going to keep Wentz. But when Nick Foles leaves and Carson Wentz doesn't have that, you know, that cloud hanging over his shoulder anymore, if he loses the game, this fan base is going to say, well, hey, Nick Foles would have won that game. Or if he misses an open receiver,
right,
you know, fans are going to say Nick Foles would have made that pass. He's going to have to live with this until he wins his own Super Bowl and does like Steve Young, gets the monkey off his shoulder.
Ricky, you and I both know that as seasons go, teams change along the way. And the Eagles are a perfect example of that. The Eagles football team we're seeing now is different than the Eagles football team we saw 6 weeks ago. When you look at New Orleans, do you see them as being any different than when you saw them 6, 7 weeks ago?
I do. I think they actually peaked, if I could take liberty and use that word.
Sure.
I think they peaked the day they beat the Eagles 48-7. There's something about karma in football and just the way things go around and round. You know, the Saints were throwing the football. Breeze was throwing 30, 40-yard passes down the field when he had a 45-7 lead. And Sean Payton and Drew Brees were throwing the ball down the field and really kind of rubbing it in to the Eagles that afternoon. Since then, they played a game on Thanksgiving against Atlanta, which was okay. They weren't as crisp as they were against the Eagles. And then after that, New Orleans got beat by Dallas. Remember, they only scored the 10 points.
That's right.
The remainder of their regular season, they basically had the division in their hip pocket. The Steelers gave that game away with Schuster's fumble toward the end, if not Roethlisberger and probably the kicker in those conditions indoors, you know, beat them in the Superdome if it's not for that fumble. I'm expecting a Saints team that might be in the curve of a season on the way down, and especially after Breeze not playing in week 17 and the team itself not playing last week. You know, this is Drew Breeze now having not taken a snap in 3 weeks of football. The Eagles can jump on top of this Saints team early and start putting a little doubt into the minds of Peyton, Breeze, these young receivers, there's not a big star in the bunch, and they can quiet that crowd, which is going to be, you know, at Mardi Gras level inside the Superdome on Sunday afternoon. You know, they just might be able to pull this thing off again, and who knows, I might have another call to give you.
Exactly. I'm hoping you do. Now, here's the next part, and that's the call itself. Obviously, passion is something that I think is ingrained in somebody, and in our business, it's ingrained in someone. You can't be a phony about it.
No.
So for you, where did that passion come from? I don't care whether it's calling a home run by Giancarlo Stanton or whether it's calling a field goal that hits the upright by Cody Parkey. For you, where did that start to develop? Was it young? Was it early in your broadcasting career? Where did that come from?
Well, you know, I've been on the radio playing music for a long, long time. I mean, I was on New York radio in 1981. So this is my first rodeo. I got into sports. I shifted out of music into sports in the mid-2000s in Miami when I got a break doing a couple of Florida Marlins games. And then from there, they sent me to Philadelphia. The Phillies said, yeah, come on, do some Spanish here. And it started there. That turned into the Eagles, turned into WIP, and turned into what we're talking about today. What I do realize is this. The Hispanic audience, Latinos do everything passionately. We're louder. We just do things with a little more fervor. But to really, and this goes back to my initial point about teaching the audience, especially the newcomers to American football, to teach the audience to the extent of the importance of these games, I turn it up a little bit. I can't be nonchalant about something that I'm trying to make understand a whole group of people just how important this is. So I'd rather be a little over the top than a little underwhelming, just so people know, wow, this must be a really big deal, this American football and these Philadelphia Eagles. And if at the same time someone's entertained by it, then so be it. It's a win-win.
I think that's look. I think you can't do anything well unless you do it passionately.
Yeah,
I've always thought that, Ricky. You know, and like you said, you've had a long background in this, going back to night. You've had to work your way to get to this spot. How much do you sit there when you're sitting in a Yankee Stadium or a Fenway Park or sitting at the Link or this week in the Superdome? Do you ever have that moment of like, boy, this is great, I'm here now?
Every time I walk into a stadium, I literally pinch myself and say, wow, you know, I'm actually doing this. It's an incredible blessing. Yes. The National Football League is a once-a-week event, which you prepare for as the week goes on. Right now, I'll be looking at some of the Saints notes and starting to memorize player numbers and things of that nature here between now and Sunday afternoon. And you build up just like the players do. I'm building up my energy level till kickoff time. Baseball's a little bit different because it's 162 games, basically in 180-something days. So you've got to pace yourself a little bit. But like you said, when I walk into a Fenway Park and it's a three-game series, Yankees-Red Sox, or we get into September baseball and, you know, the standings are tightening up, you know, walking in and just feeling the atmosphere is something that I take it in, and as much as I take it in, I give it back out. So if it's a big, big game, and that fan feels like this is a big game, I just spent $100 or however much a ticket costs, then I'm going to deliver that same passion and that same value of that event. You're going to get that through my call on the radio.
You are a consummate pros pro. It's a privilege to have you on today. I really appreciate it, Ricky. I hope it's not the last time we have you on because I enjoyed the conversation very much.
So did I, Steve. And it'll be my pleasure anytime. Your producer knows how to reach me. And let's see if these Eagles can pull another one off, and we, you know, this magic carpet ride just doesn't stop this weekend because this is a lot of fun.
It sure is, and so are you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Ricky.
Gracias, amigo.
Ricky Ricardo joining us on the show today. He is wonderful, and gracias, amigo, to you.
La temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. ¡No! ¡Falló! ¡Oh! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡Los Eagles se van con la victoria! ¡Ay, papá! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡Chicago! ¡Chicago! ¡Nos vamos para New Orleans! ¡Filadelfia gana el partido! ¡Le dio al poste! ¡Le dio al poste! ¡Y falló! ¡Parkey falló! ¡Los Eagles ganan el juego! ¡Ay, papá!